Well, I know we have a lot of people gone this last couple of weeks or on vacation and traveling somewhere at youth camp today, so I am glad you're here to worship with us today. When I was a little kid, we would drive down I-17 by the Wholesome Bakery out there, and I could smell the bread baking, and it was a wonderful smell. It was a powerful and pleasing aroma that made me happy just to smell it. I still love Wholesome bread today, but my wife keeps bringing me that wheat bread. I don't know why. Wholesome bread. But sometimes at night, I would drive down the I-17, and I would see the trees sticking up in the darkness that surrounded Greenwood Cemetery. And when I saw those trees in the darkness, it used to scare me. It made me scary because I know there were dead people up there, and it would fill me with the fear of death. You know, the sights and smells of life affect us in different ways. And you as a believer, the sight and smells of how believers work and move through this world affect people in different ways. And so today, I want to ask you a question. How do you smell? How do you smell? When you move through life, what do people see? What do they smell? And so let's turn to 2 Corinthians 2:12 to see what this means. 2 Corinthians 2:12. This is Apostle Paul talking. Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. This passage is a very interesting passage because Paul went to Troas, which is in northern Turkey, and his plans to preach there fell apart. They fell apart because he was hoping to see Titus, his son, in the spirit, in the faith, his son in the spirit. And because he couldn't find him, he was so disappointed. He was disappointed and discouraged so much that he couldn't continue the work, and so he left. And he went on to Macedonia, which is Greece. And I think he went on to Macedonia to see if he could find Titus. And so he was discouraged and depressed. He couldn't do the work. And I think, wow, even the great Apostle Paul went through times of difficulty. But instead of focusing on his disappointment, he turned to focus on the glory of Christ and how wonderful it would be to follow Christ in triumph, his triumphant procession on his way to heaven. See, when the burdens of life are upon you, when you're tired, when you're scared, when they're wearing you down, you look to Jesus and His glory. We see that in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Well, I guess our PowerPoint's out. Pull out your sermon outline. But thanks be to God. You know, he's discouraged and depressed, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. And through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. And to the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity like men sent from God. See, he was discouraged and depressed. But then he turned and he saw this beautiful picture. I was at the Gateway Seminary graduation this past May, and Pastor Dr. Org, our president, shared this message, this passage, and it spoke to me so much that I am sharing it with you today. See, the triumphal procession that Paul is picturing is this picture here, the Roman triumph. The special tribute that the Emperor of Rome gives to their conquering generals. It was their equivalent of the American ticker tape parade. If a commander-in-chief, the commander of an army, won a complete victory over the enemy on foreign soil, if that general and his troops killed 5,000 enemy soldiers and gained new territory for the emperor, he was entitled to the Roman triumph. A parade, a procession would go through the city with a commander riding a golden chariot behind white horses, surrounded by his officers, followed by his soldiers. The Roman priests would walk ahead of this procession burning incense as a tribute to the victorious army and general. And that incense would burn and it would float through the crowd, and the crowd would smell this incense and cheer because it was the smell of victory. This general had won a great victory and conquered an enemy for their country, and it was a smell of sweet victory. On the other hand, there was a smell of death to some, because the parade would also include the displays of the spoils of war, all the wealth and the gold and things that were won by the conquering enemy. And they would also have captive enemies in this parade also. They would be bound and captive, and the procession would follow a special route through the city and would end at the Circus Maximus, the arena where these poor captives would be entertaining the people fighting the beast in the arena. They were facing death. And so, for one, the smell of the incense was sweet victory. For the captives, the smell of the incense was a smell of death. And Paul is using this to contrast this world today. We can march with Jesus and smell the sweet smell of victory in life. Or we can be like those who reject the gospel and there is a smell of death. So how does this apply to us? Us Christians who are burdened today by the problems of life. Well, Jesus is our commanding general. He's our chief. And he came to this earth, this foreign soil, to conquer death and sin and defeat the enemy, which he did. And instead of killing 5,000 soldiers, he gave life to all mankind who want to follow him, rescuing them from sin and death. He rose from the dead. He claims victory. And see, when you were in this parade, if you're the general, your sons would follow you. Your children would follow you because they get that honor for being your children, sharing in the victory. And that is where believers should see themselves today, following Jesus in victory, in this parade, following Christ's triumph through this world all the way to heaven. It's an amazing, beautiful picture, the victory in Jesus. That's why we're saying victory in Jesus. That's why we're saying onward, Christian soldier, not just because it's 4th of July coming up, but because of this passage. And Paul, he was discouraged, but now he was grateful. He was grateful that God was leading him. He was grateful that God was using him to spread the gospel, not for money like some did to peddle profit, but out of love. It gave him great joy and great purpose. His discouragement and disappointment faded away. So I ask you this, what do you smell when you hear the gospel message? Do you smell the aroma of salvation or the smell of death? And that's what I want to talk about first today. The smell of death. The smell of death. Let's go to our next slide. When people see this flower, it only blooms like every 7 years. And when people rush to when they hear this flower is going to bloom, because when it blooms, the smell is so repulsive, people get sick and run out and throw up. And this is called the corpse flower. And it's a very unique flower because when it blooms, it only blooms just once every 8 years. When it blooms, it gives off the smell of a rotting corpse. It's really interesting, the smell of death. Ephesians 2:12. Remember that a time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the new covenants of the purpose without hope and without God in the world. That's the smell of death when we have no hope. When you have no hope, when you hate the gospel, I just have to turn on the TV to watch people criticize Christians and Christianity. When you hate, they hate the gospel. Why? Because the stench of death is in their nostrils. And I think there's three things that we smell when we have no hope. The first one is we smell fear. Fear. What is going to happen next? What happens when I die? When people are close to death, they start seeing the reality of death. And fear makes us worry. Fear makes us depressed. It sends us into depression. Fear causes us to push people away and makes us impulsive to do stupid things. We end up acting out in destructive ways because of fear. Do you smell fear in your life? Do you experience it? The second thing the smell of death brings about, we smell failure. Failure. Nothing you try is working. Making money, having kids, looking good, being popular does not satisfy you. That's why so many famous people in Hollywood, it's amazing, it's sad, they hurt themselves. They become addicted to substances, or they commit suicide because fame and fortune does not make them happy. When they talk about, I hate to say it, but when I hear in the news that someone famous who's young or in their 40s suddenly died, it's usually because of suicide, because of failure. They have failed in life because they have not grasped what gives meaning to life. See, when you don't have God in your heart, you have a big, empty hole. You feel this way because God, only God can fill this God-sized hole. Power, profit, and popularity will leave you empty. Then the third fear, the fear of death that we smell, is futile. Futile. There's no hope. There's no hope. There's no future. There's no purpose in life. You're just barely existing. Nothing you do will make a difference in your eternity. Do you feel like that today? Is this what you smell when you go through life? You think your life is so miserable and sad? You don't have to feel this way. Maybe when you look around at school or at work, do you see this in people? Their lives are struggling because of these things. You can smell the smell of death on them. Well, we as Christians are called by God to march with Christ, but also to bring people to Him. So you don't have to live this way. If your friend is struggling this way, they don't have to live this way. Jesus calls you to follow Him. So let's talk about the second thought, the fragrance of life. We can choose the smell of death or the fragrance of life. It is a choice. Now, when I think of fragrances, I think of flowers. I think of perfume, you know, nice perfume. One of my favorite aromas is a chocolate chip cookie just out of the oven. It just comes out of the oven. You know, chocolate chip cookie with nuts. It has to have nuts in it. I know some of you are allergic. That's too bad. But my chocolate chip cookies have to have nuts, and when it comes out, it just fills me with joy. One of the cruelest things my wife has done to me is bake chocolate chip cookies and then tell me they're not for you, they're for the grandkids. That's just cruel. I mean, it's like, wow, I can hardly wait. So I throw a fit and I whine like my grandkids and she'll give me a cookie. See, Paul pictured believers as incense, giving forth the fragrance of Jesus Christ in their lives and in their labors. As they move through this world, we give off the aroma of salvation drifting among the people. And this way we live and work can mean life or death for people by the smell that we give off. Do we give the aroma of salvation, or do we as Christians give off the smell of death because we are not walking with Jesus? Let's look at Luke 2:51. It's talking about Jesus when he is 12 years old. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus, as he lived his life, he was different. He gave off the fragrance of life. It was pleasing to God. When God sees your life, is he pleased? It was pleasing to other people. It doesn't mean that Jesus did what pleased them, but he had a life of integrity and honesty and compassion and kindness. And God liked Jesus. He smelled good. People liked Jesus because he smelled good. We draw people closer to God by the smell we give off, by our love and honesty and compassion and our integrity that shows what Jesus is like. And so the fragrance of life, I think, includes these three things. First one is we are confident. We have confidence. You have experienced the hope that Jesus gives you. You have the answers to where do I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? You know who you are and whom you belong to. We belong to Jesus. We are on the winning side. We're in that parade. We're not standing on the sideline wondering what to do. See, I can claim victory over my hurts, habits, and my hang-ups. Many of you can claim victory over sin and your hurts and habits and hang-ups that once imprisoned you. It gives us confidence to do more for God when we know we're on the winning side. I have no more fear of failure. You cannot lose your salvation in Jesus Christ. So we are confident. Not arrogant, not prideful, not condescending. We are confident in the life that God has given us. The second fragrance of life that we have is contentment. We are content. We're happy. We have joy. We don't need anything else because we have Jesus. When you follow Jesus Christ, you realize that Jesus is all you need. Why go anywhere else? When someone comes to your door to talk to you about the Jehovah Witness or the Mormons or whatever, I don't need anything else. When advertisers say, well, you should buy this or buy that to make you happy, I don't need anything else. I am content. Jesus gives me a better life and a better future. But this world is full of discontent. No one's happy. You know, in our cable 24-hour, 7-day-a-week channel, no one is happy. Everyone's rioting and protesting and having demonstrations. We still kill and destroy each other to get what we want. We're still not happy. The smell of victory is we are content. See, when you're confident in your salvation, when you're content with the life that God has given you, you can be compassionate. That's a great smell. You can be compassionate to those around you. You can freely give and not hold anything back. You can serve out of love without expectation of reward. You have so much love and blessing that you are, it's easy to give away. You give it away to everybody. Then the third thing we see is we are courageous. We are courageous. I was reading a thing from a young man who said he was trying to share the gospel, and he was nervous. He couldn't do it. You know, he's having a hard time, and I just sent him back and saying, you know, God still loves you. You know, you just need to let the love of God flow through you, not guilt or obligation to share the gospel. Let the love of God flow through you. You can be courageous. When Jesus is standing with you, it is easy to be bold. It's easy to face the bullies of life when you know that Jesus is with you. Jesus loves you. It's easy to do what is right, to make the right choices when you have the courage of the Holy Spirit. You can be bold in sharing your faith and telling people that God loves them. You claim victory every time you love someone and you serve them. There is nothing that can stop you from claiming victory. There's nothing that can steal your joy. My name is already written in the book of life. No matter what I do today, my name is written in the book of life in heaven. That gives us courage, confidence, and contentment. Romans 8:31 is a powerful passage. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who can be against us if God is with us? Now, circumstances may discourage us. People may oppose us, but in Christ, we have a spiritual resources. We are triumphant to win. We have a clear conscience, a compassionate heart. We have a conquering faith. See, when Jesus was on this earth, he was a good shepherd, right? He was a good shepherd. He was full of love and wisdom and grace, and he called people to follow him. But I think as we get closer to heaven, as we get closer to judgment day, Jesus goes from being the good shepherd to be the conquering general. Eventually in heaven, he'll be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on Judgment Day. So we need to follow the Good Shepherd, the Good Commander, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. So our third point says this, we can choose to come clean with God. If you smell bad, you don't have to stay that way, okay? You don't have to keep smelling bad. Let's go to our next slide. You can choose to come clean with God. Now I'm going to give you a secret. When I go fishing, this is my secret bait. Okay, this is my secret bait. It's called power bait. It's powerful. And it's powerful because it's been impregnated with oily scent, so it smells. And as the advertisement says, you know, fish bite and won't let go. So this is what they won't let go. There's a problem with this bait. It smells. It smells, and after I go fishing in 110 degree weather, my sweat mixes with the fish slime and the scent from this bait to make me acquire a repulsive odor. Odor. It's repulsive. It smells bad. I come home to hug my wife and she says, get away. She won't touch me. She won't let me near. Because, I mean, it does smell bad. I must admit, it does smell bad. But it's to bring fish home to the family. Our sins are repulsive to God. I don't care if you think it's a little sin or a big sin. It is repulsive to God. And God says, you can't get near me unless you are made clean. And we see in Psalm 51:2, Jesus will wash away our sins. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from sin. Only God can cleanse our sin. We can't cleanse ourselves. So we need Jesus to wash us. In this passage, circle the word wash. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. We need to let Jesus Christ forgive us of our sins. That happens when we say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe that you are my Lord and Savior, my God and King. Wash away my sins. Jesus shed his innocent blood on the cross so that he could wash away your sins. And the second thing we need to do is look at Colossians 3:8. But now you must rid yourself of all things such as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I want you to circle the word clothe. You choose to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You have to change your clothes. Not only does Jesus have to wash away your sins, you have to change those smelly clothes. If I go take a shower, and then I put the same clothes back on, my wife still won't hug me. Right? We have to choose. That's why we need redemption. Jesus has to redeem us, buy us out of slavery, but we need repentance. I have to choose to change. I need to take off the anger and the rage, the pride, the apathy, the laziness, and I need to put on compassion and kindness and love and gentleness and meekness. I need to put on Jesus. You can't just take a shower and then put on the same old smelly clothes. We need redemption and we need repentance. So many people think that they just need to get baptized and they're fine. Then they go back, they go off to their old life again, put on their smelly clothes. No. You need redemption. You need to be cleansed by God, but you need repentance. See, it's a choice. Jesus paid our sin debt. He paid our debt, but we need to repent. And so our fourth point says this: you can live as a victim or in victory. Are you a victim of life, or are you claiming victory? You know, I no longer fear Greenwood Cemetery. I go there all the time on Saturdays now. And when I go, I spend my Saturdays there giving hope to the living. When I perform a funeral, my real goal is to honor the dead, but I want to give hope to the living. And see, when we choose to change our thinking, when we stop having that victim mentality and be victor and claim victory, we reset our minds. We reset our thinking to claim victory over death. You know, today, too many people have the victim mentality. We see it all the time. It's not my fault. I'm in this circumstance. It's not my fault. I'm a victim of circumstance. I can't do anything because I don't have anything. A lot of believers think like this too. We see people at work like this, at home. They don't go anywhere. So what we need to do is stop saying, look at what everyone has done to me. You know people like this. Maybe you said it to yourself. Look at what people, they said things about me, they did things to me, they didn't give me the opportunity or the chance. Look at what people have done to me. Maybe you go to work tomorrow, school, and you see someone, you know that's what they're saying. Instead, we need to say, look at what Jesus has done for me. Look at what Jesus has done for me. He died for me. He rose from the dead. He is building me a home in heaven. I can claim victory. Victory in Jesus. Jesus did all the hard work. We just have to choose. When you see your friend or your a family member struggling, talk to them with these words. If I can help them, have them come and see me. Now we sing Onward, Christian Soldier, one of my favorite hymns, because I have the soldier mentality. That a soldier wants to please his commanding officer. Many of you have the servant mentality. That's fine. We also sing Victory in Jesus. And here's the chorus. Let's look at the chorus in Victory in Jesus. I love this. Oh, Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, not just today. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him. I don't know what ere means, but it's in there. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. I love Him. He plunged me into victory. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Isn't that a beautiful song? He plunged me. He didn't just save me. He plunged me. He cleansed me. He made me clean. And so I ask you today, are you experiencing God's glory? Are you marching with Jesus in that triumphant procession headed to heaven? Or are you just feeling guilt? Or you feel nothing? I don't care what sin you've committed. You can lift your head high. You can claim victory because Jesus washed away your sin and death. You can be proud. Romans 8:37. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, nor the present or the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you discouraged? Do you have disappointing times? You're not happy? Just remember that nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. Nothing can separate you. And so I ask you today, are you in Christ's triumphant parade? Are you in that triumphant procession headed to heaven? Are you walking with Jesus? Are you following Him all the way to heaven? You have to make a conscious decision to choose. Or are you a spectator standing on the sidelines wondering what's going on and where this guy Jesus is going? I encourage you, friend, today, if you have not claimed victory in Jesus Christ over sin and death, you need to commit your life to Jesus today and follow Him all the way to heaven. You know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd be walking with Jesus into the gates of heaven. Do you have that assurance? I encourage you today, claim victory and trust in Jesus today. Maybe you're a brother or sister in Christ and you know that you're kind of on the sidelines again. You're not walking with Jesus. Now it's time to get up and follow Jesus, recommit your life to Him. Maybe you're going to go to work today and you know someone has a smell of death around them because they've given up. They're not happy. They're sad. They're discouraged. Offer them the smell, the aroma of salvation. Encourage them to trust in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You that we can be in Your parade, that we can follow You and walk with You and claim, experience Your glory, that we cannot lose our salvation because we believe in You. So, Lord, we want to follow You, keep following You all the way to heaven. We want to be Your soldiers. We want to be Your sons and children and claim victory in You. Father, if there's someone here today who does not know You, I pray that they will open their hearts to You and believe in You and trust in You and give You the victory. And they can claim victory over their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And Father, if there's someone at work or at school or in our homes that we need to love and bring aroma of salvation to, guide us to them tomorrow, Lord. Guide us to them tomorrow. We worship You and praise You. We thank You for all You give us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand then as we sing our invitation song. If I can encourage you or pray with you in any way, please come forward.